For the next talk.
Thank you. Hello. I hope you can hear me online well. If not, complain on the chat. Okay, so we are going to talk about... Another?
You can really yell, it's fine.
Okay. We are going to talk about HPC, high-performance computing, and NICs, and how we kind of deal with that. My name is Rodrigo, and my co-worker Raul here. First, a bit of what we do. Essentially, we work on a parallel, concurrent task-based runtime, like similar to OpenMP, if you are familiar. We also need to work with a compiler based on LBM to read these pragmas in the code and transform them to function calls to the runtime. In our job, performance is critical, so we really need to take care. And in general, we execute workloads on several hundreds or even thousands of CPUs. Here's a little example of something that we have observed. We have a program here that runs, and here you can see these are the CPUs, and this is the time of execution. And we are examining this little point here because the time here is slightly bigger than what is normal. And we can see that the problem is that the allocator took a bit longer. So this is just an example. In general, in HPC or this high-performance computing, is just a lot of machines connected by fiber optic. They are managed by this SLUR daemon, which allows you to request a certain number of nodes. We don't have root in any node. In general, it's very old kernels and very old software stack. So yeah, we are stuck with that. And in general, the state of the art now is to use LD library path to load all the software and change versions. Problem with this technique is not very easy to reproduce. So the question is, can we benefit from using NICs? In general, we will get up-to-date packages, configuration options for every package, no more LD library path, and we can track everything that we use for an experiment. The problem is we don't have root, so we cannot install the NICs daemon as we would like to do. So let's take a closer look at what we do and how we do it. In general, we work in these three hats, let's say. In the development side, we take a program and we compile it several times until it actually compiles. And we kind of need to do this cycle quickly. So we want the compilation time to be very low. So we need to reuse the already built tree to rerun the build command. When we are finished, we switch to the experimentation side and we run this program in the machine. And we need to tickle with the arguments or the configuration file of the program to get some results that we want to examine. And then we also do some visualization of the results, but we are not going to talk in this talk about this. So we will focus first on the experimentation and later in the development side. So a bit of what we did. We tried with individual installation of the NICs store by using user namespaces. The problem is that the number of packages grows, so we would like to share the store with several users. So we use an auxiliary machine where we actually have a NICs daemon, and then we can perform the build in that machine and then use the post-build hook to execute some script that copies the output derivation to the actual cluster. Problem is, inside the cluster, NICs store doesn't work. So we wrap the command NICs store in a shell script, and when it's invoked by the auxiliary machine, it creates a namespace where it mounts the NICs store there, and then it runs the NICs store and receives the derivation. So we can actually copy it over SSH. We also tried to patch the Nix daemon to run inside the machine, but it's a bit complicated because we cannot even run a user daemon there. Okay, so let's focus on the experimentation cycle. The first requirement, most important thing, well, assuming that you already have like a program that somehow you built in a sandbox, we want to execute this program in the machine. And we want to make sure that this program doesn't load anything that is outside the Nix store. So especially the LD library path may have some path that actually has libraries for your program. So we don't want that. And also it may use the DL open to load other libraries. So ideally we want something like the Nix boot with a sandbox that prevents accesses to slash user or slash opt. And it needs to work in Slurm too. Another requirement that we need is for MPI, the communication mechanism, to use this syscall process BM read by that only works if the process are inside the same namespace. So we solve this by running a check that checks if the namespace is already created. And if it is so, we enter it. Otherwise, we create another one. So let's take an overview of how this works in the cluster. We have here the login node and two compute nodes that were given to us for running our program. In general, we have to wait a bit after requesting the nodes. That is fine. After this moment, we take a shell that is connected to one of the allocated nodes. These are the nodes, and each node in our case has two sockets. So we usually run one process per socket. And we talk to one of them only. Inside this process, we don't have Nix. So we first load this namespace by using our script. And then we can run other programs like srun, which is the client that will launch the workload, but is inside the Nix store. So we can compile programs linked to this specific version of Nix, of Slurm, sorry. After that, it requests the Slurm daemon to execute something in parallel, and the Slurm daemon forks in every process, one process that will run something, but it's outside the namespace because it's not controlled by us. So we execute our script again to join the namespace if it's found, or otherwise we create another one, like in the second compute node. And here we can see that we can communicate in the same node because they are both in the same namespace, and they are one too. And here we use fiber optic communications. Another requirement that we need is that we need custom packages. And we use that with this technique where we define a call package function that takes priority over our attribute set. So we can change software that is provided in upstream with Nix packages. And we use our best and first. So we can hack on those without disturbing the whole package set. Another thing that we need is to define package with compilers. In general, we use LBM with a custom runtime. So we use the wrap CC with and inject this little environment bar so we can load our runtime without needing to recompile the compiler. We also need, unfortunately, proprietary compilers. And we use this RPM extract and the autopatch elf hook to fix the headers so we can run them on Nix 2. And compile derivations with them. Okay. So.
Yes. What the fuck?
Yeah.
From there and stuff.
And now we will talk about development cycle.
Okay, let's move on to the development cycle. In general, the development process consists in getting an application, adding some new and cool features to it, breaking things, testing and retesting that it's okay. And these interactive workflows workflow requires frequent changes in the source and compilation steps. For this reason, NixBuild is not good to work with, because every change in the source will trigger a full copy of this source to the Nix store and a full compilation. With big repositories, this is a problem because, for example, in the slide we can see the time, about how much time it takes to build LLVM in a 32-core machine with HyperThreat, so it's a big machine. And we can see that although we use ccatch, we talk about different orders of magnitude comparing it with simply reusing the previous build. Another alternative could be using Nixshell to get our tools to build the application, but this environment is not isolated from the system, and we can find software that includes hardcode paths directly to the system, like in this case with a SIGMEC module file of ROCm that is CUDA for EMD, for those who don't know what is it. And if we take an application that uses ROCm and configure it and check the log output, we can see that at the end the installation selected is the system one instead of the Nix package we want to. An isolated environment will prevent us from this situation, avoiding the necessity of patching the source to solve this problem. Our solution for these two requirements is to first build an isolated environment with a tool we named NixWrap. NixWrap is a script that uses BubbleWrap to enter a user namespace where the Nix store is available, but not the system directories, like in this case, /user. And in this environment, we can launch our Nix tools, like, for example, NixBuild. And this works because inside the namespace, NixBuild creates a new sandbox in a nested namespace, so the environment is not affected. And the most powerful feature of it is running Nixshell inside this isolated environment to get your tools to build your application in an isolated environment, so you don't have to worry about accessing to the system. And in this case, is the previous example LLVM and reusing the build. And finally, if you are using as Slurm, you can execute your application by running NixWrap after the Slurm step for process and your application. Another requirement for us is, since we are in an HPC environment, we want to get the best performance of the applications. And for this reason, we need to build the critical performance software with CPU optimization flags. Our solution for this situation is to override the compiler wrapper injected flags by overriding the host platform attribute, specifying the architecture and other stuff to the compiler. In a standard environment NoCC, and finally we create the standard environment we will use to build our software with this compiler wrapper.
So I will talk about conclusions. In general, we can actually benefit from using Nix, but obviously we have some drawbacks. These cycles that I was talking about, we can still do it very fast. So yeah, it's very nice for us. And also, if we have the chance to get something like a Nix demo without the root requirement and still be able to share the Nix store, that would be awesome. Thank you very much.
We have 5 minutes left for questions. If there are questions.
Yeah.
When I was working in the HPC environment with Svelte, there was always an issue with disk space.
Yeah.
How does it work with a dynamic Nix store where people could just download anything into Nix store?
Can you read the question first?
Yeah. So question is, how can we manage to Nix store where users can install if that can be an issue for disk space? So in general, Right now we have about 300 gigabytes of storage. For our particular group, we have around 2-3 thousand gigabytes of space available. In general, in HPC, people used to use a lot of space. But if we share the store, that will be the best solution instead of every user to have their own installation. And we also, when we kind of annoy someone that says to us, please use less space, we run the garbage collector. Thank you. Yeah.
You said that the state of the art was people using LD library path on the machines.
Okay.
But I guess that was interesting. Did you consider using, or can Nix use RPath instead of using RunPath? Because that would get rid of your problems there. That, and then the other thing you can do is that there's a talk in the HPC dev reviewer about rebinding the apps path to SOs.
Okay.
But that's a little bigger hammer.
Okay, I see your SPAC t-shirt from here. okay, so question is about using RPath?
RPath, yeah, because I mean it takes precedence over LD library path. You don't have to worry about the user being stupid.
Yeah, so the problem is that you can see programs using DL open to load their own. They don't. Sorry?
DL open respects RPath too.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
We learned something about paper nuts. Unless you can do like a define with a different namespace for DL open, it won't respect that. But most things are not using that.
Okay, so DL open is not only the only problem because we also see software trying to read its C/ configuration file somewhere. And we also want to prevent that. In general, we saw that it's safer to avoid the programs from accessing any path than trying to find every single option that the program can use to access. Okay.
There was still one eager question over there.
Can we find the Nix wrapped script online?
I will. I think I will upload it to the Fosdem page. any other questions?
Not so much of a question, but a bit of a shameless plug. The main blocker for having a rootless Nix daemon was merged last week or the week before.
Mm.
So hopefully that's going to eventually solve the third of your points.
Perfect. Thank you.
So what about interior libraries on the system? Are you only envisioning that you would install the library, things like MPI through Nix?
Okay.
Because that's not possible on some of these.
Yeah, it's a very good question. For now, we have been very lucky to be able to work with only proprietary packages that can be put inside Nix. But it may happen that the proprietary something, it doesn't work. So we don't have a solution for now.
One more round.
Thank you.
Just switch it over again.